Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is December 11, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about $76 million Ether Fund makes world first IPO on Canadian Stock Exchange. Users of hacked exchange Cryptopia can now make claims to recover funds. New York Attorney General says Bitfinex, Tether could complete loan document handover in weeks. Putin orders Russia's public officials to report crypto holdings. India's banks are once more serving crypto traders and exchanges. Wallets with over 1,000 Bitcoin have hit record number, Chainalysis. Virgil Griffith still doesn't know what exact crimes he is accused of, attorneys say. First mover, stimulus bet wins even as Bitcoin slips below $18,000. Now let's get started. $76 million Ether Fund makes world first IPO on Canadian Stock Exchange. An Ethereum-based fund has completed its initial public offering, IPO, on the Toronto Stock Exchange, TSX. According to a press release on Thursday, Canadian investment fund manager 3iQ announced the sale of more than 7.2 million Class A and F units totaling gross proceeds of around $76.5 million. The Ether Fund Class A units, aimed at all investor types, have opened for trading under the symbol QETH. Investors in the U.S. are specifically excluded, however. 3iQ successfully launched a similar Bitcoin fund earlier this year. The Ether products exchange listing marks a world first, according to a tweet by the fund manager on Thursday. The fund is aimed to provide investors with the ability to purchase shares in the fund and receive exposure to changes in Ether's price over time, providing investors with the opportunity for long-term capital appreciation, per the statement. Ether is the native cryptocurrency of the Ethereum blockchain network. U.S.-based cryptocurrency exchange Gemini said it will provide exclusive custody of the fund's assets. The exchange's co-founder, Tyler Winklevoss, declared it was huge news for Ethereans, in a Thursday tweet. Users of hacked exchange Cryptopia can now make claims to recover funds. The liquidator of the defunct cryptocurrency exchange Cryptopia has told former customers they can now begin making claims for the return of their funds. In a blog post Wednesday, the New Zealand branch of accountancy firm Grant Thornton said it has opened a claims portal allowing affected users to register for the repatriation of property still held by the exchange. All accounts were frozen after over $17 million United States dollars in Ether and ERC-20 tokens was stolen during a hack in early 2019. Grant Thornton said the sheer volume of emails means it is informing users about the portal in batches throughout the week. Around 960,000 former Cryptopia users are being informed, and those registering are being asked to confirm some account details to ensure only verified users of the exchange make claims. As previously reported, Grant Thornton said the steps are necessary to ensure the repatriation of assets complies with New Zealand law. In April 2020, a ruling by the High Court in Christchurch said customers were entitled to the assets they held in Cryptopia accounts, determining those assets are classed as property. In turn, that ruling paved the way for Grant Thornton to initiate the claims. This marks the launch of the Cryptopia claims portal to start the process of returning account holders' property, the liquidator's post reads. At the time of liquidation, Cryptopia had $100 million United States dollars in cryptocurrencies. It's not clear what percentage of their original holdings users are likely to receive via their claims. As well as the large number of account holders, 37 creditors, 90 shareholders and New Zealand's tax agency are also seeking a good portion of the company's remaining assets. New York Attorney General says Bitfinex, Tether could complete loan document handover in weeks. The New York Attorney General, NYAG, anticipates the handover of loan documents relating to an alleged $850 million cover-up will be completed in the coming weeks. In a letter filed with the New York Supreme Court on Wednesday, the NYAG said stablecoin issuer Tether and cryptocurrency exchange Bitfinex had been cooperating with its inquiry. The NYAG also noted the timeline for documents to be handed over would come after a deadline, previously mediated by the court, that once again ordered the crypto companies to hand over documents outlining their financial relationship. As such, the NYAG seeks in the letter to extend an injunction, which bars Tether from loaning Bitfinex any further funds, to January 15, 2021. The date has previously been extended on multiple occasions and is again expected to expire this week before the documents are provided. The NYAG has alleged Bitfinex attempted to cover up the loss of $850 million in funds held on behalf of customers via payment processor Crypto Capital, and that it secretly borrowed the shortfall from sister firm Tether's reserves. Tether issues the USDT stablecoin, which now has a market capitalization of close to $20 billion, according to markets data site CoinGecko. Counsel for the crypto companies previously argued the document production order was too broad. The NYAG's office argued otherwise, claiming Bitfinex's attempts to delay the then 17-month-old order must stop. The operators of Crypto Capital were indicted in 2019, including ex-Minnesota Vikings owner Reginald Fowler, accused of stashing funds over a global network of accounts at 56 different banks. Bitfinex has filed for multiple subpoenas in an attempt to recover the nearly $1 billion it lost. Putin orders Russia's public officials to report crypto holdings. Russian President Vladimir Putin has signed an order obliging public officials to report any cryptocurrency holdings. According to the document signed Thursday, both current civil servants and people about to assume a government position must disclose which digital assets they own, as well as in what quantity and from where they were purchased. The first reports must be provided from January 1 through June 30, 2021. The reports must include all types of digital assets, including cryptocurrencies, digital securities, and utility tokens owned by a current or prospective civil servant, as well as their spouses and children. People seeking government roles will also have to make a crypto disclosure during the application process. The disclosures will complement the usual mandatory reports of candidates' property, a standard anti-corruption procedure. Cryptocurrencies are recognized as a type of property by a Russian law signed by Putin this summer and coming into force in January. The country's Ministry of Finance recently proposed a package of draft bills detailing the rules for reporting crypto for tax purposes. According to the drafts, individuals and companies must report their holdings if annual transactions exceed 600,000 Russian rubles, about $7,800. Failure to do so would lead to fines or up to 3 years in jail, depending on the amount of crypto concealed from the tax agency. However, the government ended up softening these rules. On November 30, it introduced a lighter version of the draft bill into Russia's parliament, the State Duma. Under this bill, a failure to report crypto holdings in a timely manner should lead to a fine of 50,000 rubles, around $682, and not reporting them at all means a fine of 10% of the sum of all incoming or outgoing transactions, depending on which amount is the larger. India's banks are once more serving crypto traders and exchanges. Banks in India are again doing business with select cryptocurrency exchanges and their customers. Top institutions such as State Bank of India, Assisi Bank, HDFC Bank, and Yes Bank are allowing customers to use their bank accounts to fund cryptocurrency trading. They are further offering various facilities to cryptocurrency exchanges, sources familiar with the matter told the Economic Times. Accounts of major exchanges had been suspended after the Reserve Bank of India issued an order barring banks from using their systems for cryptocurrency-related transactions in April 2018. The ban was quashed by the Supreme Court earlier this year. Banks earlier took a cautious approach even after the Supreme Court overruled the central bank's crypto ban in March. Gaurav Dahaki, founder and CEO of Bangalore-based exchange BITBNs, told CoinDesk in an email. But with time and price momentum around Bitcoin BTC, -0.18%, a lot more clients started demanding them to open up an account specific to crypto trading, and banks have started opening them up now. Bitcoin recently rose to a new record high of $19,920, topping the previous peak price of $19,783 reached in December 2017. Sumit Gupta, CEO of Mumbai-based cryptocurrency exchange CoinDCX, confirmed via WhatsApp that his exchange has been collaborating with multiple banking partners to build and develop business services ever since the Supreme Court order was overturned. Meanwhile, Nishal Shetty, CEO of Binance-backed cryptocurrency exchange WazirX, told CoinDesk that banks have reached out to the company to offer working capital or other loans and financial services. A banker, however, told the Economic Times that his bank is still cautious while dealing with cryptocurrency exchanges and serves only a select few so far. CoinDesk reached out to HDFC Bank and State Bank of India for comment on the matter, but did not receive response by press time. While banks have begun serving crypto exchanges and traders, the Indian government's stance on cryptocurrency trading remains unclear. As of September, the government was said to be mulling a ban on cryptocurrency trading but exploring blockchain's utility in managing land records, the pharma supply chain and educational certificate records. Wallets with over 1,000 Bitcoin have hit record number, Chainalysis. The popular narrative that institutional Bitcoin investors have been leading the 2020 price rally looks to be backed up by on-chain data. In 2020, the number of wallets defined as a set of blockchain addresses controlled by a single entity holding at least 1,000 Bitcoins has increased by 302.17%, and is now at a record high of 2,052. According to Philip Gradwell, economist at Chainalysis. That's a big increase in the wealthiest wallets and provides evidence that institutional investors have entered the market, Chainalysis noted in its weekly market intel newsletter dated December 10. The so-called rich list, the number of individual addresses holding at least 1,000 coins, is also up over 7% to 2,270. The metric reached a record high of 2,274 on November 24, according to data source Glassnode. Several prominent publicly listed companies such as MicroStrategy and Square have diversified their cash holdings into Bitcoin over the past few months, boosting the cryptocurrency's appeal as a reserve asset. Even insurers have joined the Bitcoin bandwagon, with Massachusetts Mutual Life Insurance having now invested $100 million in the cryptocurrency, as reported on Thursday. Smaller investors have also been increasing their holdings. This year, wallets holding 5 or more Bitcoins have amassed over 2.4 million coins, Gradwell said. The number of wallets holding at least 5 BTC has increased by 8,842, 4%, to 234,408. Bitcoin nearly doubled from $10,000 to a new record high of $19,920 in the September to December period. The cryptocurrency was last seen trading near $17,750, representing a 150% year-to-date gain, according to CoinDesk 20 data. It remains to be seen if the big investors continue to stack more coins during a potential price sell-off. Bitcoin balances held on exchanges have declined by over 18% this year, taking sell-side liquidity off the market and indicating a strong holding sentiment. However, the cryptocurrency has pulled back from its peak price in recent days. According to analysts, the decline has been fueled by some investors liquidating their holdings and represents a temporary bull market correction. As a result, short-term technical indicators are beginning to roll over in favor of the bears. The widely tracked 14-day relative strength index has dropped into the bearish territory below 50 for the first time since October 6. Back then, Bitcoin was trading near $10,500. The RSI's bearish turn comes following the cryptocurrency's recent downside break of a narrowing price range. As such, support of the two-month rising trendline, currently at $17,000, stands exposed. Some options investors have positioned for an extended pullback, as discussed earlier this week. Virgil Griffith still doesn't know what exact crimes he is accused of, attorneys say. Attorneys for Ethereum developer Virgil Griffith filed documents over the past week arguing he and they still don't know exactly what he is being accused of doing. Griffith, who was accused last year of violating U.S. sanctions law by traveling to North Korea and teaching locals how to transfer funds using cryptocurrency, has yet to receive a list of actual crimes for which he is being indicted, according to a December 8 document published to the federal court system. The defense should not be forced to use a decoder ring on over 6,800 pages of discovery, much of which has been heavily redacted by the government to discern the basic information that should be present in every indictment, what crimes were actually alleged to have been committed, by whom and where, the document read. Attorneys not involved in the case told CoinDesk in January that while prosecutors claim Griffith violated the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, at the time they hadn't revealed what specifically he was accused of saying or doing. According to one of Tuesday's filings, this information is still unavailable. The document said Griffith is requesting particulars about what services he allegedly provided, who else was involved, and how these services violated U.S. law. Griffith's attorney, Brian Klein, asked a federal judge to compel prosecutors to reveal details and evidence during a hearing in January. At the time, prosecutors said they would comply with federal production requirements. Legal rights. Griffith's team further argued Tuesday that First Amendment rights protected the Ethereum Foundation coder against government action. Repeating their long-standing argument that Griffith received no payment for his North Korea speech and therefore rendered no services, they said Griffith was well within his constitutional rights. To argue that he did, the government has to twist basic words beyond their common meanings, the filing said. The U.S. State Department banned all U.S. citizens from traveling to North Korea without express permission in 2017. The argument was made in support of a motion to dismiss filed last month. Moreover, the U.S. Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Asset Control, OFAC, had a much greater role in the investigation leading up to Griffith's 2019 arrest than had been initially disclosed, a third filing said. FBI agents were discussing the case with OFAC employees at least as early as October 2019, well before the previously disclosed timeline of November 2019, according to the filing. The exact nature of OFAC's expressed concerns are identical to the issues at stake here, namely, whether Mr. Griffith's presentation falls under the informational exemption under the Berman Amendment and the FTIA, and whether the giving of an oral presentation constitutes a service in the context of a conference, the filing said. Information in the public domain is generally exempt from IEEPA restrictions. As such, the filing says, even if Griffith provided any information that falls under OFAC's services bucket, it should still fall within that public domain exemption that is protected by the First Amendment. First mover, stimulus bet wins even as Bitcoin slips below $18,000. Bitcoin BTC was lower for a second day, slipping below $18,000 to the lowest in almost 2 weeks. The momentum that characterized Bitcoin throughout October and November seems to have cooled down, Matt Blom, head of sales and trading for the cryptocurrency-focused financial firm Diginex, told clients Friday in a note. Prices retrace even in light of positive news. In traditional markets, European shares fell as Germany reported record virus cases and deaths, and U.S. stock futures pointed to a lower open amid fading optimism over stimulus talks in Washington. Gold weakened 0.1% to $1,834 an ounce. Market moves. If everyone says Bitcoin is a hedge against central bank money printing, does that make it a hedge against central bank money printing? It looks that way. Or at least that's one interpretation of recent news developments and market signals. Government-issued currencies like US dollars are accepted as a form of payment because the government decrees they be so. Such tenders are often referred to as fiat currencies, from the Latin it shall be. Bitcoin was invented 11 years ago as a new form of electronic peer-to-peer payment built atop a blockchain network that no single government, company or person would control. But it's the limits on the cryptocurrency supply, hard-coded into the underlying network programming, that have garnered so much attention recently from big investors. Only 21 million Bitcoin can ever be created, a true stumper for monetary economists or analysts accustomed to the supply and demand calculations typically applied to commodity markets from gold to oil to cocoa to pork bellies. As governments and affiliated central banks have created trillions of dollars of fresh money this year to combat the steep economic toll of the coronavirus, more big institutional investors are deciding that Bitcoin will hold its value as fiat currencies become ever more abundant. Take the latest announcement from MassMutual, a U.S. life insurance company with $567 billion of assets under management as of December 31. As reported by CoinDesk's Danny Nelson, the insurance company said Thursday it would take a 5% equity stake in the cryptocurrency investment firm NYDIG while buying $100 million of Bitcoin for a general investment account. There is nothing surprising to me about MassMutual leading their industry yet again by both seeing and acting on the long-term value of the Bitcoin monetary risk premium for their policy owners, NYDIG Executive Chairman Ross Stevens said in a press release posted on the insurance company's website. Notice that term, monetary risk premium, the idea that Bitcoin will protect investors against the risk that monetary authorities just keep printing more money. It's the linchpin of the entire announcement. As we've seen throughout the last few weeks, the level of institutional involvement in this tiny market is growing at a very rapid pace, and it will only continue to grow from here. Mati Greenspan, founder of the foreign exchange and cryptocurrency analysis firm Quantum Economics, wrote Thursday in a newsletter. One takeaway is that perception might be turning into reality. If enough smart, powerful people with deep pockets decide Bitcoin is a hedge against the risk of monetary easing, then fiat, it shall be. Thursday brought the news the European Central Bank, led by President Christine Lagarde, would expand a pandemic-related asset purchasing program by $500 billion, $607 billion United States dollars, to $1.85 trillion. It's the European version of quantitative easing, where central banks pump money into markets to boost asset prices and stimulate economic growth. The ECB already has cut one of its key lending rates to negative levels, so the extra stimulus pushes monetary policy stance to an unprecedented level of looseness. The overall policy stance is expected to remain very accommodative. Klaus Vistisen, chief Eurozone economist for the forecasting firm Pantheon, told clients Thursday in a note. This includes persistent QE, in some form or the other, and negative rates for as far as the eye can see. First Mover has discussed extensively just how dramatically Bitcoin prices have surged this year, some 156%. As the U.S. Federal Reserve printed trillions of dollars of fresh money to stimulate the economy and help finance the Treasury Department's staggering and still growing fast debt load of $27.4 trillion. There's also been a lot of discussion in foreign exchange circles of a decline in the dollar's value versus the euro, or rather the European currency's 8.2% appreciation this year versus the dollar to $1.21. Less often quoted as Bitcoin's price denominated in euros, which has climbed an also dramatic 136% to 15,099. Such gains might play into the perception that Bitcoin is an as good hedge against debasement of euros as it is against other the dollar. Or perhaps other currencies as well, if big investors keep buying into the premise. Bitcoin was losing ground Friday amid a risk-off mood in traditional markets. The top cryptocurrency by market value is trading near $17,700 at press time, representing a more than a 3% drop on the day. Meanwhile, major European stock markets and the futures tied to the S&P 500 are flashing red on Brexit uncertainty and the seemingly never-ending U.S. fiscal stimulus negotiations. The sour mood is giving a lift to the U.S. dollar in foreign exchange markets, putting extra pressure on dollar-denominated Bitcoin. Short-term technical studies are beginning to roll over in favor of the bears. The widely tracked 14-day relative strength index has dropped into the bearish territory below 50 for the first time since October 6. Back then, Bitcoin was trading near $10,500. The RSI's bearish turn comes following the cryptocurrency's recent downside break of a narrowing price range. As such, support of the two-month rising trendline, currently at $17,000, stands exposed. Some investors have positioned for an extended pullback, as discussed earlier this week. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.